The city is laid out in square, and its length and its width are the same. He measured the city with a rod at 12,000 strata, and its length and width and height are equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the human measurement, which the angel used. The building materials of its wall were jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amherst. The 12 gates were are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made with a single pearl. The broad street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a sanctuary in it, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the sanctuary. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's glory illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Each day its gates will never close, because it will never be night there. They will bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing profane will ever enter it. No one who does what is vile or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I read to you from Isaiah chapter 60. Because the picture of heaven, it's not as though God waited till the book of Revelation to give us this picture. The picture has always been there. We don't always see. It's kind of like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes we look through a glass darkly. Sometimes the reflection isn't clear. But everything that he just described, he's already told us in the Old Testament. And we read in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the people. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings will come to the brightness of your radiance. Raise your eyes and look around. They all are gathering and come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters will be carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will tremble and rejoice. Because the riches of the sea will become yours, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. Caravans of camels will cover your land, and the camels of the Midian and Ephah, all of them will come from Sheba. And they will carry gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks from Kedar will gather to you. And the rams from Nabaoth will serve you and go up to you on my altar as an acceptable sacrifice. I will glorify my beautiful house. Who are these who fly like the clouds, like the doves into their shelters? Yes, the islands will wait for me with the ships of Tarshish in the lead to bring your children from far away, their silver and their gold with them. For the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will serve you. Although I struck you in my wrath, yet I will show mercy to you in my favor. Your gates will always be open. They will never be shut day or night, so that the wealth of the nations may be brought into you, with their kings being led in procession. For the nations and kingdoms that will not serve you will perish, for those nations will be annihilated. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. Pine and fir and cypress together to beautify this place of my sanctuary. And I will glorify my dwelling place. The sons of your oppression will come and bow down to you, and all who revile you will fall down on their faces at your feet. And they will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, and the Holy One of Israel. Instead of being deserted or hated with no one passing through, I will make you an object of eternal pride and joy from age to age. You will nurse on the milk of the nations and nurse at the breast of kings. You will know that I, the Lord, and your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I will bring gold instead of bronze. I will bring silver instead of iron, bronze instead of wood, iron instead of stones. And I will appoint peace as your guard and righteousness as your ruler. Violence will never again be heard in your land. Devastation and destruction will be gone from your borders. But you will name your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no longer be your light by day, and the brightness of the moon will not shine on you, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your splendor. Your sun will no longer set, and your moon will no longer fade, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your sorrow will be over. Then all the peoples will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the branch I have planted, the work of my hands, so that I may be glorified. The least will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, I will accomplish it quickly in its time. You can see the parallels there, can't you? I mean, the repetition of the same phrases. First of all, the sun and the moon is not going to be needed. It's not that they're going to be gone, but they will be so dim. You know, when we look out at night, when you have a beautiful, clear night, and you look out at the black sky, and you see all the host of heaven dotting the sky, they're still there in the daytime, aren't they? They don't go away. They're still there. They're all out there in space. They don't just turn off their lights when the sun comes up, do they? But we don't recognize them and see them. Why? Because the illumination of the sun is so far greater that it darkens out and just blinds you and makes them as though they were not in the presence of something greater. Well, the sun itself and the moon itself will just fade away in the presence of God. When God's presence and glory comes, all of that which has given us light and has and for us, we can't stare at it for a long time because it can damage our eyes. That which for us is brilliance and brightness that we need for life and health and strength, it will seem as nothing in the presence of God. Well, there are three distinct paragraphs to this. And the angel who was one and at once, one of the last seven judgments that came, of the bold judgments, one of the last seven, didn't just say which one because they were all bad, weren't they? They were the seven last plagues. One comes and in the same notion that he was able to show and demonstrate the wrath of God against sin, he's also able to show the grace of God that God has demonstrated. And he told John, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. But you look at the passage. I don't see the description of a beautiful bride, do you? I don't see the wedding gown. I don't see the bridal party. I don't see all of the guests that have come. I don't see any of that. And instead of describing the bride, what does he describe? What happens in verses 9 through 15? What is he describing? It's not a bride. What is it? Help me out here. This is interactive. You can speak. A city. The city is coming from whom? Coming from God. It says, from heaven, from God. And it's coming down. And so instead of seeing a bride, the wife of the Lamb, what does he see? He sees the city. So what's that tell us? It says that the bride is the city. They're the same. The bride is the city. The wife of the Lamb is the New Jerusalem coming down. So, we're talking about people, aren't we? We're not talking about a dwelling place as much as we're talking about those who will occupy it. It's not so much the place as it is the presence of God and those who will be in the presence of God. Those that are dwelling will be the number. If you ever watch History Channel, how many of you watch History Channel besides me? They always show you what it will be like a week after man is gone, right? And so you watch this little segment and you see what a city will be like when all lights on. I mean, just wait for a few days and Detroit may be a demonstration of that. Some of the cities up in the upper state, Ohio and Michigan, you may get to see what it's like when there are no people. But the reality is when you have a city, if there is no one to occupy it, then you don't have a city, do you? All you have is buildings and structures, but the city is the people. And so New Jerusalem coming down is the people of God. Now dispensationalists have always told us that there are two people of God. There's the earthly people of God, there's the heavenly people of God. There's the people of God that's Israel, and there's the people of God that are the church. And the church is the heavenly bride of Christ, and that the Jews are the earthly people of God, and that the two are distinct and have two different separate plans, even in eternity. The Jews are going to occupy the earth, and the church is going to occupy heaven. But I'd like you to consider, look at the city. What's the first description that he gives us? He describes the city, and he describes it by the people who are there. First of all, he says about it. He says that it has a great high wall. Just as it's on a great high mountain, it's lifted up. And it says that it has 12 gates, and inscribed upon the gates are what? The 12 tribes of Israel. So who's in the city? Who is in the city?
Israel is in the city. Israel is part of this city. And upon the 12 gates, you have the 12 tribes of Israel. And so that's the picture. You have Israel that is part of this holy city of God that's coming down. And they are the most apparent and obvious because they're up on the gates that you will come in. And underneath them, what do we find? Underneath each of the gate or each of the wall, what do we find? We find a foundation. And the foundation that is described and later will be described in verses 15 down through verse 21. The foundation has 12 foundations, and the foundation is what? It is the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So all of a sudden now we've got Israel on the gates, and supporting Israel and the gates is what? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles of the Lamb represent whom? The church, not Israel. The church, the people of God in this present age. The people of God that have gathered of Jews and Gentiles. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the whom first? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. One people that have been gathered together to make up the city of God that comes down from God, one plan, one purpose, one people, and one eternal plan that will include them and incorporate them both. In Romans chapters 9 through 11, he describes the future of Israel, and he describes it in relationship to Gentiles. God's purpose for Israel has always been God's purpose. God's made promises from Abraham all the way through David and the prophets. God has a plan for Israel. But you and I, as wild olive branches, he says, have been grafted in. We share in what God has for Israel. It's ours. It becomes ours. It doesn't take away from them. But everything God said in the Old Testament, otherwise you might as well rip your Bible in half and toss the old part away because it had nothing to do with you. But the reality is that it has everything to do with you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the things that were written about Israel were written for our example. We are to learn from them. Not to become Jewish, but to learn from their example, for we too are the people of God. Paul talks about a circumcision. Israel was circumcised. That identified them as being Jewish. But he said, we have a circumcision too. In Romans chapter 2, he said, we have a circumcision of the heart. In Colossians chapter 2, he says that our circumcision is the baptism of Christ, being born again, being regenerated. That is our circumcision that identifies us as the people of God. You see, God's got a plan for us. And it's not our plan in distinction from their plan, but it's one plan. I'd like to remind you something else. We are the witnesses to Jesus Christ, the Lamb. He has appointed us to be the light to the nations. That's our responsibility. Jesus gave us that commission. We read early in the words of the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes, the first thing he tells us is what? You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, then what use is it except to be cast out and to be trampled under the foot of men? You are the light of the world. And a man doesn't take his light and hide it under a bushel basket and stick it under the bed, but rather, where does he put his light? Upon a lampstand so that all who come in may be illuminated by it. And he ends this Sermon on the Mount that goes from Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. He ends it by telling of a Gentile ruler whose child is sick, maybe a servant who is sick, and he sends these messengers. And he says, I've got a servant that's sick and he's dying, and do something. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come. He was persuaded by the Jews. This had been a very benevolent man to the Jewish community. And he says, okay, I'll come. And his servant says, no, you don't have to come. And the Gentile says this, the centurion leader says this. He says, I am a man under authority. And I tell this servant to go over there and he goes. And I tell this one to come here and he does.